So we have the Old Testament. You know, here's in the beginning. Here's the Old Testament law. Calvary. Church age. Tribulation. And millennial reign. Which is the 1,000-year reign of Christ. So, basically, God gave the Old Testament law to Israel. He gave it to the Jews. One thing to remember about Abraham is Abraham was before the law. The law wasn't given to Abraham, it was given to Moses. So that's important when you're looking at Abraham, looking at him being the father of many nations. We might do a study on that sometime too, but Abraham is before the law. So he gave the law to Israel. It's the Old Testament. And then at Calvary, we have the death of the testator, which is Christ. Death of the testator. And that's in Hebrews, it talks about there can't be a New Testament without the death of the testator. So when you're looking at rightly dividing the Bible, the Old Testament law, it's called the Old Testament. But the New Testament couldn't come in until there was a death of the testator. So after the cross, there's something different. After the cross, we're saved by grace through faith. Under the Old Testament law, they weren't saved by grace through faith. They were saved by works and faith. There was grace and works. It's always, they had to keep the law. Matter of fact, they didn't even go to heaven after they passed on in the Old Testament. They went to Abraham's bosom, which is the center of the earth. Jesus Christ had to die and go down there, and those people were safe in Abraham's bosom. They weren't saved, they were safe. They were put in a place of safety. And Jesus Christ died, went to hell, dropped off our sin debt, preached captivity captive, and he led those people out of Abraham's bosom. So there were works involved in their salvation. They had to do the works to please God to get to Abraham's bosom. And then they had to trust Christ to get out of there. They had to listen, he had to preach to them let them out. So an interesting thing about the Old Testament is okay. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John before the death of the testator, especially Luke, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but before Jesus Christ died on Calvary, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you're looking at an Old Testament setting. So a lot of churches that don't rightly divide, they say, well, there's no such thing as dispensations. Everybody's always been saved the same way. Well, Adam wasn't saved by trusting Jesus Christ. Moses wasn't saved by trusting Jesus Christ. Noah had to build an ark. He wasn't saved by trusting Jesus Christ. And you get up here in the tribulation and millennial reign, there's works involved. There's no work here. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The church age, it's all grace. It's by putting your trust in Jesus Christ, calling on him and asking him to forgive you and save you. So there's a difference. There's different dispensations. But a lot of these churches that don't teach, a lot of people that don't teach dispensations, they teach everything out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to the church, especially Matthew. They use that to the church. Well, before the cross, it was under an Old Testament setting. And also, Jesus Christ himself said he didn't come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. His ministry before his crucifixion was to Israel. It wasn't to the church. It wasn't to the Gentiles at all. the Jews were rejecting him and the Gentiles were coming after him. That's why he turned to the Gentiles. But Old Testament law, the death of the testator, Jesus Christ's blood had to be shed. For the New Testament to begin. And you're in a church age. At the end of the church age, we're probably right around here. The end of the church age, Laodicea. And we're getting ready for, hopefully, prayerfully soon, the rapture. Or catching away. And then God's going to turn back to Israel in the tribulation time. The church will be gone. We're up here at the judgment seat of Christ, where our works are judged. It's not about our salvation. It's about our works. And then there'll be marriage of the Lamb, where the bride of Christ, and we come back with him at Armageddon. So, the church leaves, have the time of Jacob's troubles. Jacob is Israel. And since it's called the time of Jacob's troubles, and it was a week appointed to Daniel's people, we know it's about the Jews, not the Gentiles. So in the church age, there's no Jew or Gentile in Christ. They're either lost people or saved people. Now the Jews and the Gentiles, there'll be Jews and Gentiles in the tribulation, but not the church. The church is going out. Tribulation is a 7-year period. Seven-year period, and it's split up into 3.5 and 3.5. And that's what we're going to talk about a little more here, a little while, the tribulation period. So, the first 3.5 years, after the church is gone, the man of sin comes in, which is led by the spirit of Antichrist. And he's preaching peace. So it looks like somewhere around here, the rapture, we're going to have a really bad war. And probably it's going to be mostly against Israel. And he's going to come in and he's going to work some kind of a peace deal where Israel feels like he's their Messiah. So they come in and it has to be against Israel because he's coming back to offer them peace. If you go over there, right, if you went over there right now, they're always talking about shalom, shalom, shalom. Shalom is peace. And Jerusalem, the city of peace, is what that means. And it's never been a city of peace, really. But it will be one day when Jesus Christ comes and rules and reigns. But the first 3.5 years of that tribulation, the man of sin, he rules. And peace, you know, I believe, it looks to me like they're probably going to get that peace at the first half of this 3.5 years, first part of that, and build their temple then, which I hope that's true because that means we can get out of here. We don't have to wait for them to build a temple. We can get out of here any second. And then they're going to get their peace. They're going to build a temple. Halfway through this thing, the Antichrist, the man of sin, will be killed. He'll get a deadly wound, it talks about in Revelation. And then after 3 days, he'll rise again from the dead, like Christ, because the Antichrist mimics Christ. And in the last 3 years, or 3.5 years of this tribulation period, he wages war on Israel. He hates God's people. And they'll flee into the mountains and leave, and God will take care of the ones that are actually trusting him. But they, if they don't take the mark of the beast and they don't worship the beast, they won't be able to have food or they won't be able to buy, sell, or trade. But God will take care of them. And that's what the Old Testament was like, a picture of. When you look at the Old Testament stories of like Elijah being taken care of at the brook, like Moses and the children of Israel being taken care of the wilderness, and different places in the Old Testament where God took care of them in times where only God could take care of them. That's what will happen here. He'll take care of the Jews that don't take the mark and don't worship the beast. So the Antichrist will wage this war on Israel. It's interesting. We'll look at this a little more in depth another time, but it's interesting. It says Israel's fleeing. The devil shoots out a flood to try to get rid of Israel, and the earth opens her mouth up and saves Israel. The earth opens up and drinks up that water to save Israel. Well, a lot of people say, well, in Daniel's 70th week, 70 weeks, when you're looking at that, where we believe it's talking about the Antichrist, they say it's talking about Jesus Christ. And these are Bible believers, supposedly. But that would make Jesus Christ sending a flood out to get Israel. And then the earth opens her mouth. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. We're not going to get too far into that anyway today, but that's a whole other deal. But the first 3.5 years is peace. And then 3.5 years into that, the Antichrist dies and he raises from the dead. And then the last 3.5 years is hell on earth for the Jews and for this world. Then Jesus Christ comes back, defeats the Antichrist's army, casts the beast and the false prophet into hell. And then he reigns for 1,000 years while Satan is bound for 1,000 years. And then Satan is loose for 1,000 years. And I get to use a new color. Let's see, let's do this. Satan bound. 1,000 years. It doesn't look like that color at all. Anyway, then he's loosed. And he comes up here and he deceives the nations to go against God. And then right here, we have the battle of Gog and Magog. So the Battle of Armageddon is here, where Jesus Christ comes back with us from heaven, and he defeats the beast and the false prophet, casts him in the lake of fire. He binds Satan for 1,000 years. He rules with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. He loses Satan. Satan comes up, gets everybody together against God, and you have the Battle of Gog and Magog, and then Satan's cast into the lake of fire with the beast and the false prophet. Then you have the White Throne Judgment. I'll draw the chair. Yeah, the White Throne Judgment. It's a blue throne, because if I draw a white throne, you won't see it on the whiteboard. See, and then that's the judgment. That's not for the church. That's for folks, lost folks, and it looks like folks that may have been saved and under these works plus faith in this area. But you get that judgment, and he casts death and hell in the lake of fire, and you have on into eternity. So that's basically it. The beginning, Abraham. I'm going to put Abraham on here just because he's really important to the whole picture. The beginning, Abraham before the law, Moses is given the law, and up until Jesus Christ is crucified, even in Jesus' ministry on this earth before his crucifixion, it was an Old Testament law setting, and he was preaching to the Jews. And if you look at Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 15, it talks about he sent his disciples to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. His ministry was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then you have the blood of Christ in the New Testament, and that's the church age, where we're saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then with the rapture, tribulation for the Jews, and in the battle of Armageddon, beast and the false prophet cast in the lake of fire, 1,000-year reign of Christ, Satan was bound, he's loosed. He gets the kingdoms together against Israel, against Jerusalem and the Jews, against Christ, and Christ calls down fire from heaven. They're gone. That's the battle of Gog and Magog. So, you know, the white throne judgment on into eternity. Here's something important about, we're in this age right here. So you have people a lot of times, and well-meaning, they just don't understand where we're at on the timeline. And they'll say, is the end of the world soon? Okay. So, the end of the world can't be soon, but the end of the church age could be any second. So, for the end of the world to come, you'd have to have a 7-year tribulation and a 1,000-year reign of Christ. After that, after the white throne judgment, you have a new heaven and a new earth, because the old heaven and the old earth, the first heaven and the first earth, are passed away. So you had a new heaven and a new earth over. New heaven and earth. Right here somewhere, after the white throne judgment. So the answer to the question is the earth, is this the end of the world? Is no. Because we have to have at least 1,007 years left before the end of the world. If this timeline's right, we're here in Laodicea, the last of the church age, 7 years of tribulation, 1,000-year reign of Christ, which is 1,007, the white throne judgment, new heaven and new earth on into eternity. That new heaven and new earth happens at least 1,007 years from right now. So people are like, oh, the earth's going to burn up. And that's what they're talking about. When they're talking about Armageddon, they a lot of times that's what they're talking about. They don't understand this battle on this earth that Jesus Christ fights, and then he reigns for 1,000 years. So they're thinking, I think it was a show, I think Bruce Willis was in it years ago, called Armageddon, where that wasn't a meteor headed for the earth or some crazy thing, and it was going to wipe out the earth. Well, then you still got Bible prophecy teachers that are teaching stuff like that. The earth's just going to be gone. Well, we got 1,007 years for any of that's going to happen. And I don't believe it's going to be a meteor anyway. I believe it says the earth's going to melt with a fervent heat. Now, God could do it one way or the other. He could either just melt it with his word, or, which I believe he probably will, or, you know, people are talking about, well, nuclear warfare and all this stuff. Yeah, I don't know. Because it looks like after the Battle of Gog and Magog, the enemies are done. And then the earth is new up here. So it looks to me like man doesn't have anything to do with getting rid of the earth. Other than the fact that it's sin-cursed and God's going to get rid of it because of that, it looks like God just melts it away. And not only does he melt it away, it says the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. You're talking about some heat, and the elements are even melting. So there won't be anything left of the old. But anyway, that's our basic timeline. So the basic thing to have on this is Old Testament, the crucifixion, the church age, the tribulation, the millennial reign, rapture, Armageddon, Gog and Magog. And another thing I want to look at is, I want to break this down. Let's look at, let's just make a tribulation time here. So this is that 7-year period. We're just going to blow it up down here so we can see it a little better. And three and a half. Three and a half years and 3.5 years. Okay, Revelation chapter 11. And there was given me a reed like a rod, verse 1, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the courts But the court, which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God of the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead body shall lie in the street of that great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. That city is Jerusalem. God calls it spiritually Sodom and Egypt because of the shape it was in, where also our Lord was crucified. So there we know what we're talking about. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. So, who are these witnesses? When Jesus Christ was on the Mount of Transfiguration, there were two witnesses with him. And it was Moses and Elijah. This is Moses and Elijah too. And a lot of people say, well, they want to say one of them is Enoch, because Enoch's a type of the church. But we're at the tribulation time. We're not dealing with the church at all anyway. We're dealing with the Jews. It's Moses and Elijah. Moses represents the law, and Elijah represents the prophets. And the reason we know it's Moses and Elijah, it talks about these two candlesticks, talks about these two witnesses. Moses and Elijah showed up with Jesus Christ after his resurrection on Mount Transfiguration. We know that those two were definitely Moses and Elijah. And it says these are two olive trees. Well, these olive trees represent life for Israel, and that's the law and the prophets. That represents the law and the prophets. It also, it says they have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. They prophesied 42 months. So Elijah in the Old Testament commanded that it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain for 3.5 years in the Old Testament. So that's obviously Elijah. Then it says that they have power to turn water into blood. Moses did that in Egypt when he was telling Pharaoh to let the people go. He did that. So we know this is Moses and Elijah. Interesting thing that a lot of people, they don't know where to put Moses and Elijah here. So they'll say, some people say, well, their ministry is the first 3.5 years. Some people say their ministry is the last 3.5 years. Well, I think it's the first 3.5. And here's why. We've got two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, and then 144,000. Which are witnesses, which are male Jewish virgins, they're not Jehovah's Witnesses, in this millennium, in this tribulation time. So these 144,000 are sealed in their foreheads by God. They can't anything happen to them. They can't lose salvation. They can't be defeated by any man. And the two witnesses can't be defeated by any man. But if you look at what we just read, verse 5 says, if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. So if somebody tries to kill these witnesses, they just breathe fire on them and kill them. If any man will hurt them. So if any man has the will to hurt Moses and Elijah, they just breathe fire out and destroy them. But it says In verse 7, "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth up out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them." So the beast that comes out of the bottomless pit comes out here. Because the man of sin is killed, and he raises again that third day, and he comes out of that bottomless pit here. So the beast, which is the Antichrist, has the power to kill Moses and Elijah. So if Moses and Elijah were over here, they would be on the earth with the Antichrist, full-blown Antichrist, and he would just kill them. They wouldn't be able to testify. They wouldn't be able to have a 3.5-year ministry. So to me, they have to be here in his first 3.5 years, because then the devil, full-blown devil, comes up, and he, even though man can't defeat him, he does. He destroys him. So after he kills him, verse 10, it says, "And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth." And it's here they are, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. You know, they're giving gifts to each other. They're celebrating the death of Moses and Elijah. Well, the last half, the least of their worry is going to be Moses and Elijah. This is where God's undoing these seals and all these plagues and all these beasts are coming up out of hell and stinging men and everything else. The first half is where they're aggravating people, because the Antichrist comes along, the man of sin with the spirit of Antichrist comes along, and he's got this time of quote unquote peace, which is a false peace. It's a false security. So while this man of sin shows up, this Antichrist figure shows up, stops this war that's going against Israel, and says, peace. And he works out some kind of a peace deal. And I think I might have mentioned this last week, or maybe last Wednesday, but one really good thing is that I've heard, and I believe is probably true, is one thing they're waiting for to rebuild their temple over in Jerusalem is on the Dome of the Rock. The Muslims have their mosque there. They're building there. Well, according to a historian, you could go to this one part of the hill and look and see the temple. Well, when you go to that part of the hill and look, you can't see the mosque, which means the devil built the mosque in the wrong place, because he wanted to build it where the temple was. But God messed him up, apparently. And when you look out there, you see an empty place. You don't see the mosque. So the mosque is built away from where the temple is supposed to be built. And the Jews, a lot of the Jews know that. So they don't have to get the mosque and tear it down to build a temple. They can build it right there next to it. So praise the Lord, build that thing. So this war against Israel, whatever it is, this Antichrist comes in, and he's preaching peace, and he makes this covenant with Israel and says, yeah, you guys can build yours, and we'll... And that's what I believe will happen. That's probably what will happen, because they got this Abrahamic family house where you got the Jews and the Catholics and the Muslims all have their one worship center under one roof for now. So I believe this Antichrist figure, and believe me, he's not the full-blown Antichrist to the last 3.5 years, but he's led by the spirit of Antichrist. He comes in, he says, peace, peace, and he says, yes, there's plenty for everybody. Can't we just all get along, and the Jews can rebuild their temple, and they can worship, and the Mohammedans, they can worship the way they want to worship over here. And then this Moses and Elijah, they come. What were the law and the prophets pointing to? The law was given as a schoolmaster to point us to Jesus Christ. The prophets were prophesying of a coming Messiah. So the law and the prophets are going to come back this 3.5 years. Moses and Elijah representing that, and they're going to be preaching about the true Christ. They're going to be preaching, hey, this guy here is the wrong one. And these people that finally have peace after all these years are going to be upset. They're going to be upset with Moses and Elijah. They're just shut up and let us have peace. Nobody's firing rockets at us anymore. Everything's going good. And they're the ones that are going to want to kill Moses and Elijah, but can't. And when they try to, Moses and Elijah is going to breathe fire on them, and they're gone. The 144,000, they're witnessing here in the tribulation time too. Eventually, though, Moses and Elijah are killed by the Antichrist. Look what it says here in verse 12. So verse 11. After 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell on them that which saw them. So they're killed by the Antichrist, probably beheaded, who knows. But anyway, they're laying in the street, and everybody's celebrating because now they can supposedly have this peace. And then, you know, at the same time the Antichrist killing them, and these people are celebrating, the Antichrist is getting ready to try to kill all the Jews. But it says, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. So here, after Moses and Elijah are killed, it looks like said, come up hither, Moses and Elijah are raptured out. You got a mid-tribulation. It looks like a mid-tribulation rapture somewhere in here of Moses and Elijah. It says, come up hither, just like he told John in chapter 2. Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. So then you talk about the earthquake, and you talk about all these things that are happening. And so it looks to me like the first 3.5 years, Moses and Elijah are here. The beast, the Antichrist, comes out, kills them. They're raptured out after they raise from the dead. Last 3.5 years, the full-blown Antichrist. From here. Antichrist. Wages war on Israel. So when you're reading Revelation, when you get to chapter 6 or so, when it starts into these seals and stuff, in the New Testament, we've got 4 accounts of Jesus coming: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, called the Gospels. When you're reading Revelation 6 through 19 or so, there's actually 4 accounts of the tribulation showing different things happening. Just like 4 accounts of Christ coming, there's 4 accounts of the tribulation. So when you're reading 6 through 19 in Revelation or so, that you're not reading like 6 and 7, 8 and 9, these things, a lot of these things are happening at the same time, but God splits them up so we can see what's going on. He just gives 4 different accounts, 4 different things happening. But a lot of these things are happening at the same time. So this tribulation time is a time of Jacob's troubles for the Jews. The church is going to be gone before that, hopefully very soon. And that's where I believe the two witnesses are. The first 3.5 years, the Antichrist kills them, and they raise from the dead, and God calls them up out of there. And these, like I said, these 144,000, we're not going to study it too much today, but they are, God seals them. They're marked. And it looks like, when you're reading through this, it almost looks like they're marked in heaven, and then they come down and have their testimony here. And I think this is really a difference. Did we talk about the fact that might have been the babies that were destroyed? There's a possibility. Where are you going to find 144,000 male Jewish virgins? There's a possibility that these were the babies that were murdered when Herod was trying to kill Jesus. Because it ends up, he killed them all along the coast, and the coast covered all the 12 tribes. So there's 12,000 of each tribe, each of the 12 tribes that make up this 144,000. There's a good possibility, since they're male and they're Jewish and they're virgins, they're all the male babies that were killed at the time of Herod when he was trying to kill Christ. And That is a possibility. I'm not saying that's doctrinally 100%, but there's a very good possibility that that's who that is. But God seals them, looks like in heaven, sends them down here, and they testify through this whole time. And eventually they're defeated by the Antichrist and his army. And then God comes back and defeats the Antichrist. But that's what the tribulation time looks like. And then after that, Jesus Christ rules and reigns for 1,000 years with a rod of iron. So I guess we'll stop there, since we've already went 5 over or 6 over. Old Testament? It will, and it'll be like that in one sense and not in another, because the Old Testament was all works and some faith involved, because they had to put some faith in God. Here they'll see Jesus Christ. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. He is the Word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He is seen, so it won't be by faith. It'll all be works-based. And what they're going to have to do, see, in the Old Testament, they had to come before God several times a year to keep right with Him. And that's what they're going to go back under. But they went through their high priest, which was a man of the Levites. Well, Jesus Christ is the high priest and King of Kings. So they're going to come before, the whole world will have to come before Christ annually, once if not three times. I can't remember how that works. But I think it was three times here that all the males had to show up. But at least once a year they have to come here. If they don't, their countries don't get rain, they don't get food, He doesn't bless them. So yeah, they're going under an Old Testament setting. But really, saved by grace through faith ends at the rapture. When you're looking at tribulation, you're looking at works too. Matter of fact, it says, let's look at chapter 20, I think it is. Revelation chapter 20. No, that's all right. Verse 4, and I saw the thrones, and they sat upon them, judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So those are tribulation saints that were beheaded for the cause of Christ. They had to work by not taking the mark, not worshiping the beast, and trusting God. So there's faith and works. If they took the mark of the beast, they're done. That's another reason the church can't be going through the tribulation. Because if somebody messed up in the church age, if they messed up in tribulation and took the mark of the beast, then they die and go to hell. Well, you're sealed in the church age where you can't go to hell if you're saved. So, I mean, that doesn't make sense. And also, it's a time of Jacob's trouble, not a time for God's bride to go through trouble. I mean, Jesus Christ is going to take us out. How can we come back with Him in Armageddon if we're still here? You know, it doesn't make sense. We can't come back with Him until the marriage supper of the Lamb. We can't go to the marriage supper of the Lamb until the judgment seat of Christ. So we have to be out of here. We have to go through the cleansing process of the judgment seat of Christ, go through the marriage, and then come back at Armageddon. But this whole time frame is works plus faith involved. And then you get up here, and this is works. So yeah, it's all a little bit different, but yeah, it's basically Old Testament, Old Testament, Old Testament, New Testament. Very basically, that's the way it's split up. There's works involved, works involved, works involved. Jesus is the only one that works here. He worked for us. He did all the work. So anybody that would accept Him here don't have to go here. They can get away from messing with their own works if they just trust the finished work of Christ. But the Seventh-day Adventists, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and all these people that demand on working, if they're still here when the rapture happens, if they're still alive, they're going right here. If they take that mark, they're done. And they'll probably take it because they don't believe the Bible. And they'll think that this guy that shows up is Christ. Even the people that don't believe in Christ, they're going, wow, that must be Christ. And then he's going to deceive them and get them to take that mark. Well, these people here, God marks in his forehead, in their foreheads. He seals them so they can't lose their salvation. And when the devil seals them, they can't get salvation. It's just a crazy thing. Anyway, that's it for today.